Congratulations.
Whiskey drinks and beer.
Chase my blues away. And I'll be okay.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike and Fritz.
Mount Rushmore.
So 3:30 country happening at 3:16 or so on Monday is
doesn't hit the same.
It's probably shocking. A lot of people were expecting it at 3:30. Get I know. A little early.
You want to replay it at 3:30?
No, just in the middle of Nick.
Man, this song, Bloomsburg, karaoke late at night.
A bunch of you idiots pretending you're from down south.
Talk about
a
problem.
Drunk morons.
Talk about a problem.
You pissing your scholarship away with cheap beer.
Yeah.
Come on, laziness.
Man. Dude, $9.99 Jenny Cream Ales? You kidding me?
Majoring in failure at Bloomsburg.
Well, we got here. We got here. The GPA the first year was bad.
What was it?
Dude, I think it was like a 2-3, maybe.
That's passable.
No, I might
that's
be lying. It started, I think it was 1-7 in my major.
There you go. Oh,
and then 2-3 right. out of it.
I definitely was below 2 my first semester.
Really?
It was hard to manage sports and class.
I wasn't even playing.
Neither was I. You know, talk about dedication to the craft.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So there's a drop point of the class where you can just drop it and it doesn't affect your grade?
Yes.
So my math class coincided with the beginning of practice. So I'd always get to be late to practice. So I was already failing this class and knew I was going to drop it, but stayed in as long as I could.
So you didn't have to practice.
You are such a loser.
That's where he and I differ.
Yeah.
I missed class to go to practice, yes.
Unbelievable.
Value my education.
Somehow I was a better student in college than I was in high school. I was a horrible student in high school, and I got to college.
I was a better student in college than I was in high school.
Yeah, I don't know how. I did fail one class. Failed music appreciation.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Like the wrong one for you.
Got a straight up F. It was way harder than I thought it was going to be.
You probably had takes on all of it. That's why you had the issue.
Yeah, well, music appreciation?
What's that?
Music appreciation?
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
I took cinema appreciation.
I didn't know it was going to be like a... Dude, they were talking about the Renaissance and stuff.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And there were all these side things I had to do at the library. Yeah. And, dude, I just remember the first test I took. He wrote things in that little blue booklet that I wrote in there. I was just making stuff up. I mean, I had no idea. Yeah, I failed it.
Yeah.
That was the only one I failed. 215-592-9494. Big V in Mount Laurel. Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh,
Big V in Mount Laurel. You're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Big V.
Big V.
God bless you and your family.
You and yours as well. Hey, listen,
thanks.
I congratulations on that defensive coordinator position that he's going to get you.
Yeah, I heard. So he's been basically putting out there that he's putting his name in the hat for the head coaching job in Atlanta. And I get to be his defensive coordinator. Yes.
Well, you were a Falcon great.
Yeah.
Now, if Doug Gottlieb can host the show and coach at the same time, I would position that you guys have to keep your jobs at WIP while hosting the Falcons.
Yes. I like that.
Oh, he was taking you too, Spike.
Oh, really? What am I going to do?
I think he said you would be like the offensive something because you always offend a lot of people.
Okay. Do PR for him, maybe.
Yeah, we'll take the job. Listen, we'll be there maybe through the first year, but we'll have fun.
Yeah, it should be great. I look forward to this. But listen, first comment was the Tanner McKee situation. I mean, you can tell. I know there was a lot of chatter for the last couple of months when Jalen was going through that rough patch about Tanner taking his place.
Right.
And, you know, when seeing him yesterday – he's just not ready. I mean, yeah, and yes, it's true. He didn't play with any of the starters. However, some of his actions, you know, indicate that even with the starters, he wouldn't be ready. He's not athletic enough to, pull that ball down and run for positive gain. He hasn't acquired the skill to, you know, buy some time for the receivers with his feet, and he's a very bad read on the blitz. And the thing is they were blitzing him early on.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you think they would have played if it was a starting offensive line, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert in there?
Give them a lot more shorter passes.
They probably would have done okay?
I think they probably would have done okay, but here's the other thing that really hurt Tanner. It was some bad calls that they were giving him, you know, to perform. I mean, they spent, you know, the first half passing and running to the right, then the second half passing and running to the left. Everything was just so vanilla, it was predictable.
Well, I think part of the issue is you have a bunch of guys who are not taking first-team reps.
Yeah, they can only run so much.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I understand everyone who was frustrated with the Tanner McKee conversation 3 weeks ago to look at that and say, look, I told you. I think there are things that you said that are accurate. He's not a mobile QB. Neither is Matt Stafford. And I think most QBs at this point, not most, there's more mobile QBs, guys that can move that aren't. It has changed in the league where I think the standard is that the guy can move a little bit instead of the standard being that the guy can't move. However, I do think it is tough to make any judgment at all about Tanner McKee being a good quarterback in the NFL on yesterday's game. I think you'd be making a bad bet if you bet one way or another, just like I think you've been making a bad bet if he lit it up. I think it would probably say a lot more than him failing the way that he did yesterday, actually, now that I think of it.
I mean, right now you got to call it what it is. I mean, he's a good developmental prospect. He is accurate, though, you know, the second half he wasn't as accurate. He's an accurate thrower. He's got great timing with, you know, the receivers that he had for such a short period of time. So, I mean, there is some potential with him. But saying that, you know, right now he could jump into Phil Jalen's shoes, that's really saying a lot.
I agree.
Thank you for the question.
But I never saw that at this stage of his career. He just doesn't have a lot of seasoning. I think there is some potential there, but he needs to play. Like, you got to get used to the game speed.
Yeah.
You know, also what you saw as the game went on yesterday, he got hit a little bit more. That affects you the rest of the game.
You had happy feet
all of a sudden. Yeah, it starts to affect you when you get hit out there. So, you know, I wouldn't say I'm discouraged by anything. I just think that isn't a big enough sample size to go either way on him, and you would definitely need more game footage. Like, he needs more game seasoning. To me, he's the type of player that you put with a team that's young, that's not ready to win now, and the roster is still developing. You can't put him in a situation and say, well, let's go out and win big games now against the Rams or the Green Bay Packers, you know, teams that have championship aspirations.
Also, I think
and that's what it would be if you're playing for the Eagles.
Yes, and also I think to the end that if he had to play three games in the middle of the season that were all games that they deemed games they had to win, which was yesterday was not it, he was playing with the starters, you do something a little more conservative,
right,
and you probably end up winning football games. I don't think that you can't win football games with Tanner McKee as your quarterback.
Especially with this defense.
Yes, right.
You can do it because you're not going to ask him to do as much. I think we went either 4-1 or 5-1 with A.J., in 2001, when Donovan got hurt.
Oh, with A.J. Feely, right.
Yep,
yeah,
Donovan broke his ankle. And then Coy came in and started the next game, but then Coy got injured and was done for the season. So A.J. had to start. And that was A.J.'s rookie year.
Yeah.
And so, but I think we either went 4-1 or 5-1 with A.J. the rest of the way. And that was his rookie season. So that just gives you an example of a small sample size there. Didn't ask him to do a ton.
Yeah.
But he also had Andy as his coordinator, de facto coordinator and coach, that could put an offense around him, and we had Deuce and Correll. So we had a running game and a defense that you didn't ask him to do a whole lot.
4-1.
We went 4-1?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I actually wonder.
Six TDs, five picks, by the way.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. I didn't remember his stats.
I actually wonder.
Thanks, Fritz.
Your point earlier, and I think Chuck's point too, both you know, around the same point of part of them, what they wanted to do yesterday was go out and show what he could do, mm-hmm. or whether they're proving it to other teams, proving it to the media, proving it to themselves, whatever it is.
Yep.
I think that is also, I mentioned just sort of like the Eagles outsmarting themselves a little bit, is like, if you want to do that, I don't think you can do that with your whole backup team. To think that they can go in and just muscle the starting Commanders with your backup players, like, let's just think about this offense with the starters this year, with A.J. Brown, with Devontae Smith, with Dallas Goedert, with Saquon Barkley, with the starting offensive line. We've had stretches this season where the offense couldn't do anything.
Sure.
So
if we led the league in three and outs.
Yeah, if you want to go out there and make some point with Tanner McKee, I don't think the best way to do that is to make that point with the skill players who are not your better skill players.
Yeah.
So at that point, I would have even played Sam Howell yesterday. You know, maybe some of the best thing about the value of Tanner McKee is not seeing him. Is like you only
see him. Oh,
that
is some of it, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Is that maybe some of the allure of him, if you're going to trade him, is like he's only looked good so far.
Mm-hmm.
He's only looked good, you know, and you got to go in there and light it up against that with backups. I just think it was a tough spot, and it was a misjudgment from the Eagles yesterday.
So if you're a team out there, would you rather have Tanner or Malik Willis?
Well, I'd rather have Malik Willis.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But I think
higher draft pick, a little more upside.
He's been in the league for 5 years, has started games, important games for a good team. And remember also, Malik Willis was not going out there with the backup Packers either. He was out there with the starting Packers.
That's right.
So
that's true.
215-592-9494. Paul in Wood Lynn. You're on WIP. What's up, Paul?
Hey, one sec. What's up, Spike, Ike, Jack? How's it going today?
What's up, Paul?
What's up, Paul? I mean, come on, Paul.
Yeah, man, it's been a while. But, man, I was upset all week that we wasn't playing the starters. I was mad. I'm like, what the heck? I really valued that number two pick.
And after you mean the number two seed?
Yeah, number two seed. You know, watching the game, I'm like, I don't know, maybe, like, could you imagine, like, if Quinyon got hurt or something? We got to play Billy or one of them corners. Like, yeah. I don't know. Even after we lost, I was upset, but I just thought about it more like, yeah, we definitely can't afford. Like, our depth is not good, man. Our depth is not good. So
that's true.
I wanted the starters to play, but after the game, I'm like, you know what? We definitely can't afford to lose one of our corners or one of our bad defenders. Like, so I was cool with it. Nah, man, but
that being said,
yeah, why are you so out of breath,
Paul? What do we got going on here?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly Ringo had to make one of the.
No, time out. Why are you out of breath?
Because I just came in the door and ran up my steps.
Okay, all right.
I'm old, man. I'm an old guy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're doing two things at once.
Kind of sounds like it.
Okay. All right.
One more thing, man. Yeah. All year, you know, I'm not going to talk bad about Tanner because all year I've been saying it's been and Ben Petullo. And, man, it's Petullo. Like, Tanner's a good coach. Our offensive game plans, bro, they're worse. There's no rhythm, no nothing. Like, come on. Like, as much as I am a Jalen, you know, supporter. Jack and all of them know that. So y'all probably, but we need to get somebody to play call plays next year. This guy is not the guy, man. I agree with exactly what Chuck said. I said the same thing to my people as I was watching the game. He trying to either – now, Ike brought up that point. That could be it, too. But I initially thought they was trying to make Jalen look bad. Like, he coming out here throwing the ball 40 times. Like, man, the game plan was just crazy, man. I think we can win the Super Bowl, but our OC and head coach might be our downfall, man. All right, man. Y'all boys enjoy. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you for the call, Paul.
I tell you, our OC, now they may – listen, we'll let the games play out and see how it plays out. But – the players don't get let off the hook here. I mean, the offensive line has been struggling all year.
Petullo or not Petullo, the offensive line
exactly,
is not good this
yeah.
year.
And Jalen has had his moments where he hasn't been on point throwing the football and things of that nature. And then, yeah, you can also throw the coaching in there as far as – I've never been big on the whole schematic part of it, but I understand where everybody focuses in on that. For me, it's always been about having complementary football, you know, having a rhyme and a reason as to why you're running this play that leads to the next play, and you got an idea of what you're doing and where you're getting the rhythm. For me, it always feels like we're doing everything in that moment versus having a plan as to what we're going to do. They've recognized something. Now let's attack this or attack that.
Well, it just speaks to the whole season has felt disjointed. I think given all of the disjointed stuff, the offensive coordinator stuff, the AJ stuff, the fact that they are in the situation that they are, seems like an accomplishment. To be the three seed seems like an accomplishment right. to me. I mean, everything that's happened, and it's all fair, it's all still right in front of them. Mm-hmm. But I agree that the offense is sort of like a metaphor for the entire season. Nothing. And Jordan has said a couple of times to us, Jordan Mailata, during the Jordan Mailata show, is that the offense has been better. You know, he was talking about Raiders game and then the Commanders game because we're all on the same page now. And like, it's always been a strange thing that he said that to me because I've always wondered, well, he's not going to tell me.
Yeah, but it certainly implies.
Who?
Right.
You know, who's on the same page? Are you talking about KP and Jalen? Are you talking about KP and Nick? Are you talking about the offensive linemen? They're still, even in the Buffalo game, and we talked about this, they're still talking to each other so much right before a play. You see wide receivers say, are you doing this? Or am I doing that? And the entire thing seems incredibly disjointed, and I wonder now if they go to the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, I find it hard to believe they're going to make a change in offensive coordinator. Maybe, but if they lose in the first round and it's because of the offense, it will be a tough thing to withstand to bring back Petullo next year. I think
I agree, but that's Nick's hire.
Yeah,
he's still a coach. Do they reassign Petullo and just bring in another coordinator? I mean, you don't have to fire him, just demote him, make him a QB coach or whatever he was prior to. I guess that certainly, but that to me would be obviously upstairs and what they felt about this. And that's the thing that we don't know is how does Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie feel about the OC combination? Like, do they think it's holding them back or do they think it's the players, i.e. the quarterback, that's potentially holding them back? Or is this just one of those years where the offensive line is banged up and they haven't been necessarily effective? So that's had a negative impact on just about everything else they do. I don't know how the front office feels about this.
Well, to me, I just don't understand. Here is Nick Sirianni. I'll tell you what I don't understand in a moment.
And then go to Ruben Frank.
Hey, Nick, I was wondering when you rewatched the tape, what stood out to you about the way Tank Bigsby played, and what do you think his specific skill set brings to the offense when he's on the field?
Yeah, he runs hard. He's got extremely good ability to make you miss while also being able to, you know, put his shoulder down and finish off runs through contact. You know, and so I thought he did a lot of good things. You saw him on a check down, they got a big gain on a check down and getting them the ball in space there when you're able to go through it and then be able to get the ball to the back. That's a lot of space for him, and he made a guy miss and picked up a big play. So I thought he did a lot of good things, and those are some of the things like that we value about him. He goes, you know, the way he walks through, the way he practices, it really does show up in the game with how hard he runs and how hard he plays.
We'll go to Rube and then Dave Zangaro.
Hey, Nick, what's the value of having a quarterback going into the playoffs who's got the experience in the postseason and the success that Jalen has had?
Yeah, I think that big time. You know, obviously Jalen's a great player and has had a lot of big game experience. You know, the amount of big games we play on a yearly basis in our regular seasons, you know, are huge. And then, you know, played, you know, how many playoff games is this now? 8, 9, somewhere in there.
This will be his 10th.
This will be our 10th. All right. So, you know, that's huge, right? You know, every time he steps out in the field, I feel like Jalen does a great job of, you know, continuing to raise his level of play. And so, yeah, he has a ton of experience, and the quarterback we're playing has a lot of experience too, in the playoffs, a lot of respect to them. And so, yeah, I think that's valuable. You know, I think when we first started, I think, back in 22, you guys kind of asked me something in the sense of like, well, none of you guys have played in like the big games. And I think what I said was, well, they've played, a lot of these guys have played in big college games and national championships. Now they've still played on big college games, national championships, and they and also the biggest stages in the National Football League as well. So I think that serves good for our team, and I think most definitely for Jalen.
We'll go to Dave and then Brooks Cubino.
Thank you.
Nick, it looks like you're going to be relatively healthy going into the playoffs. I know some of that is obviously out of your control and the team's control, but how much pride do you and the organization take in getting these guys pretty healthy into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's – yeah, good question, Dave. I think it's always a fine line of, like, there's two things that need to happen, right? You got to have your players available, and you do different things to make sure that happens throughout the year. But it is so important that you continue to get better as the season goes on. And I think our guys have a great balance, and we do a good job of balancing, you know, that intensity at practice. There's no balance of the intensity at practice. When we're out there, you know, we're ripping it. But I think we know how to our guys know how to practice. They know how to practice efficiently. So, you know, we've had a tendency of getting better while also having guys healthy. And so, you know, we continue to tweak the process of what we do. Great people in this building that help us make decisions, there's a lot that goes into that. And then you got guys that are truly committed to this game because they love this game and they want to be the best versions of themselves they possibly can be. That, you know, you could have all the resources in the world, if the guys aren't using them, it's for nothing. But our guys do such a good job of using the resources they have, taking care of themselves, and I think we have a pretty good process. So, yeah, as an organization, I think we take a lot of pride in that.
We'll go to Brooks and then Jeff McClain.
To follow up what you said to Ruben's question there, I'm curious about the aspect Jalen has played in the biggest games, college and Super Bowl. So, like, you've been around other players, other quarterbacks before. So what does that tangibly look like in a game, in a moment? Are there kind of memories for you that show up that are difference makers for someone that has been in that situation and when they haven't?
Yeah, you know, again, Jalen's played in the biggest of games. And I just think, you know, what you see from Jalen is you see this steadiness at all times. As you get into the playoffs, you know, we treat everything the same, and we're going to go about this week, our process, the exact same way we've went about everything. But you love his consistency and his approach. You love his consistency and his steadiness at any moment of the game. And so, again, those are things that are so important of how, just again, game in, game out, within, in between series, play to play, he's just got a great mental toughness about himself to be able to forget about what happened in the past, good, bad, indifferent, and play the next play with extreme laser focus. And I think that's a great quality to have.
We'll go to McClain and then John McMullen.
Hey, Nick, I guess at this point, we know that Jalen hasn't been as much a part of the run game all season, but you also got him through the year without getting hurt or missing any time. I guess my question to you is, do you think that in some ways affected the run game and how you guys weren't as successful on the ground this year? And then the follow-up to that would be, is that something that just is the offense at this point, or can you turn that switch on, or does it even make sense to do it at this point in the postseason?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see as we continue to game plan for this team. Obviously, we'll see, you know, the direction we go in with some of those things. Jalen is ability to run, pass, get us in and out of plays, right? I think he can do a lot of things really, really well, outstanding. And, some of those runs that he has that we have done has come off scrambles. Some of them have come off of designed runs. And again, like I said, each week calls for something different, based off of what you're seeing, based off of what you do. And we'll go through our process like we always do and find out the best way we want to attack this particular week against a really good group of players over there and great coaches. I have so much respect for this team that that is coming in here on Sunday. Just can't tell you how much respect I have for the players over there and the coaches over there led by Kyle.
We'll go to John and then Martin Frank.
Hey, Nick. Similar to – sorry, got a bit of a voice thing. Similar to Jalen Hurts and his experience, it's your 10th playoff game as the head coach. How much have you grown and the core members of your staff that have still been here grown through that process and become better sort of playoff coaches?
Yeah, I think, again, if we're constantly asking the players to continue to work on themselves, become the best versions of themselves, then we got to do the same thing. And that's what we strive to do, is be hypercritical on ourselves through every game, through every practice, through everything. My job is to hold everybody accountable, not just the players, but the coaches, and constantly be in this growth mindset. So if I truly answered your question and said, yeah, we're a little bit better, like I truly believe we have busted our ass to be, you know, the best version that we are right now. But we got to keep getting better. Like there's no, that's this league. You got to continue to grind. You got to continue to try to get better. And I think we've done that, and we'll continue to work like crazy, you know, to get better. And you know, that's the mindset our team has. That's the mindset our players have. That's the mindset our coaches have.
We have time for a couple more, so we'll go to Martin and finish with Zach Berman.
Hey, Nick, to see a guy like Jalix Hunt, the way he's blossomed this year, how gratifying is that for you? And what has he brought to the edge rusher room and going forth in the playoffs as far as his expectations?
Yeah, I was always taught in this game, it's you know, as a college coach, it's recruit, retain, develop, right? And that is something we take great pride in, and Howie's done a great job of getting guys in here with the right mindset that want to be great at football, that love the game of football, that are tough, that are you know, that have high football IQ, and then as coaches, once those guys are in here, our job is to develop them through the fundamentals, through the schemes, through the weight room, through every phase of life. And so, you know, you take a lot of pride in that when a guy continues to get better. But all the credit goes to Jalix himself, because he's the guy that is, you know, put the work in. First of all, you know, he had the right things in his body to allow him to be able to be the type of player that he is right now. And he'll continue to get better. But he also has the right things in here. You know, he has, you know, he loves the game of football. He's tough. He wants to be great. He works at it. He's got great work ethic. And so the combination of all those, like, again, our job as coaches to develop them with our schemes and to develop them through the fundamentals and holding them accountable, you know, bringing the right guys in by Howie and then the player themselves. That's where you tend to see the guys reach, you know, God willing, reach their ceiling. And I think, you know, that he's a product of that, and he's continuing to get better, and look forward to watching him continue to play and grow.
We'll close out with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. In the NBA, sometimes with like championship level teams, you hear they can flip a switch. You know, you guys are an experienced team, as you've discussed on this call. Do you think that, you know, there's a for lack of a better term, a switch that can be flipped, or do you think kind of who you are is what you are going into the postseason?
You know, we're going to continue to bust our ass to be the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be. That's what we've been doing from week one of training camp back to OTAs. That's what we'll continue to do. You know, and so we'll do it as coaches. We're up there working right now to put together the best plans we can. Players will come in with a mindset of, you know, getting a little bit better each day, focusing on just this game, not anything else. But the San Francisco 49ers, and yeah, the best way I know how to get ourselves ready to win a football game is by what you do throughout the week with your preparation, as coaches, as players, through your practices, through your walkthroughs, to your meetings. It's all that work. You win games Monday through through Saturday, and then by going and executing on Sunday and coaching well on Sunday. And so it all matters, and that's what we'll work on this week as we move forward.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, we do appreciate your time. There he is, Coach Nick Sirianni. I do think they can flip the switch in the playoffs. I think sitting the starters yesterday was sort of indicative of that. I don't believe they can. I mean, like, I think even last year, those first two games in the playoffs were offensively...
Yeah, they weren't the best.
They weren't great. I think they can... I think they can get through the NFC, but I do think they think that they're maybe a little bit better than they are.
Ooh, bro, if they get through the NFC, they're winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, they could.
I mean, I think the best team's over here. I do. I think the toughest route is through the NFC.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, once you get to the Super Bowl, absolutely, yes. Sure. I think the best teams are in the NFC, and I still think the Rams are the best team, but they're not going to play a home game.
Right.
So they're in a tough spot to do it.
And it's not going to be easy to go to Seattle.
No.
That will not be easy.
No. And the reason that Seattle, you know, when people talk about Super Bowl odds, Seattle is the current favorite to win the Super Bowl. It's not because of the team Seattle has. It's because Seattle will only play two games instead of three, and they will both definitely be at home.
Yes.
So that just gives them – winning two games instead of winning three games to get to the Super Bowl gives them a massive advantage.
Yeah.
You know?
It does. And when you're a defensive-led team, you want to be at home because you got the crowd noise behind you.
Yep.
Right, like that's what you want on the road. It's hard. You don't have the crowd noise, and now your offense has to deal with crowd noise on the road. You're at home. You're feeding off that energy from the crowd.
I also think a quarterback who has won playoff game in his entire career playing at home is a better situation for Sam Darnold than playing on the road.
Yep.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Dreaming of another chip? Make her feel like a world champion every day with a custom diamond ring from Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. So my experiment has failed. Actually, everybody proved that they are being honest. So Jack asked the question earlier, are you glad that the Eagles rested their starters yesterday? And 63% said yes. I told him to ask the question in a different way. Should the Eagles have played their starters to go for the number two seed? No, 61.7%. So, and asking the question in a different way did not affect the way that people are looking at the game.
Yeah, and listen, like you said, I think people are being honest. I think there are people out there that value the rest. And sure, they may have thought, you know, consolation prize or cherry on top would be if we do win and the Bears lose, we'll get the number two seed. But the rest is more important. Now, I didn't necessarily feel that way. I think getting the number two seed would have been the thing to do. Having those two games at home, again, I just mentioned about a defensive-led team like we are. Can you imagine having the opportunity to play two teams in here in our building with our defense? That would have almost put you in the NFC Championship game. Now we have to wait and see what happens somewhere else to see what that second round looks like. So, but the rest was important for everybody. Now the players have to go out and make the coach right about that decision.
Yes, because they all seem fine with it.
Right.
They all want to play as football players,
no,
I think.
No,
but,
you're right.
But they were
like
fine.
Everybody
with
was
it.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody was throwing a tantrum over having the day off yesterday. Yeah. I looked it up. So since 2000, home teams have won 67% of their games in the playoffs in the NFL. And even going back to 1970, it's like 65% of the games.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big advantage. Now, the thing that also adds up to that is the home team is usually the better team, or they wouldn't be playing at home.
Sure.
So, they will have at least one home game, potentially two. Look, I don't know. It could work out in a way where they're home all three, because the only time they're going to play the number two seed will be in the divisional round. They can't play the two seed in the NFC Championship game.
Right.
Because if the two seed wins and they win, then they're playing in the divisional round.
Yeah. Listen, I can remember the losses at home. We lost to Tampa at home. We lost to Carolina at home. I'm talking about playoffs games.
Oh, yeah.
Tampa in the championship game. Carolina in the championship game.
Packers.
Packers in the first round.
Yeah.
The Saints.
That was the Vic year?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Saints with Nick Foles. And then Seattle.
Yeah, Carson.
With the one with Carson. I think those are the five playoff losses that we have since 2000.
Oh, I was talking about whole NFL. You're
just
talking about
the Eagles. I'm just thinking about the Eagles. Yeah, I'm just thinking about the Eagles. Yeah. Just, it just says how important it is to have that home game, to have that home playoff game.
Absolutely. And I think they sort of lucked out with the draw and not getting the Rams.
Did I see a stat? We're the second best team at home in the playoffs since 2000.
Oh, really? That's certainly possible.
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a different stat. No, I think we got the best home record, second best to Buffalo over the last two or three years, I believe, over the last 3 years.
Just overall.
Just overall just playing overall. At home.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, going back to how well we play at home
yep.
versus being on the road.
And the only two away NFC Championship games would have been Arizona and 01.
And the Rams, yeah.
Because the ones here, they won.
Yeah.
And that Rams team, pretty good.
Yeah, greatest show on turf.
Pretty good team.
We had them on the ropes, though, Spike. We had the lead at halftime. We had it, man. I don't know what happened in the second half. Marshall Faulk woke up.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty good player.
Well, people forget, you know, if healthy Ike Reese plays in that game.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. That damn Liz Frank.
Man. Yeah, man.
Took you down.
The what ifs. There are so many what ifs.
Everyone brings up if only Ike played.
Yep. You know, he's a playmaker over here.
Yeah.
You never know when he's coming up with a big play.
Nobody even know that I didn't play in that game.
All I know is this. No disrespect to Jordan Hicks. Haven't seen a 58 make plays in coverage like Jalen Hunt.
Oh, he had three interceptions this year.
Since
He leads the team in interceptions.
Well, and sacks.
That safety in him is coming out.
Dude, he's incredible.
He's awesome. That interception was incredible.
Yeah.
He leads the Eagles in safety in interceptions and sacks.
Yeah.
And pressures.
Yeah.
When was the last player to lead their teams in interceptions and sacks?
Well, he's the first Eagle to ever do it.
Yeah. I mean, I would, yeah. It can't be something that happens all the time.
No. I can't imagine.
No, you would need somebody who gets a lot of interceptions. Willie T was a big interceptor. Seth. Well, no, it's the first time it happened with the Eagles. The first time it happened.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of somebody. It seems pretty rare. And congratulations to the New York Jets for going an entire season without one interception.
That is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard.
That's a stat that's never going to be broken.
No, that seems Ripken-like. Yeah. 215.
A whole year that nobody on the team got an interception?
Not even by accident.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And Aaron Glenn was a corner.
Yeah. 215-592. He should get out there. 215-592-9494. Donovan McNabb joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
The hunt is on. Eagles playoff football has arrived. Fire up your game day with Dietz & Watson premium meats, artisan cheeses, and condiments from Dietz & Watson. Don't forget Dietz Nuts, meat snacks, perfect on the go and packed with protein. Dietz & Watson, proudly fueling Philadelphia playoff runs since 1939. Find game day recipes and retailers at DietzandWatson.com. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing.